I don't remember much about today's show. I'm operating on about 2 hours of sleep, so I'm lucky to still even be upright right now.
Well, it's okay. We had a Why Talk Monday where we had family results.
Yes.
Ooh, spicy.
We also talked about highway hypnosis, which I'm very terrified for your drive home today.
Oh, I remember your composting.
Yeah, and I was trying to be a hippie with it being composting, which I still don't know what composting is.
That must have really made an impact on me. It's the only thing I remember from this morning. All right, well, we'll remember the show together right now on the podcast.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
Getting the families together for Easter. When we talked to Melanie on Friday, man, she had a scene on her hands. Her family, wild and crazy. Her husband's family, not so much. And they were all going to get together for Easter over at Melanie's house. And she was worried about it with good reason. And we have her back on the phone with us right now. Melanie, how are you?
Oh, I survived.
Okay.
Yay, that's a win.
It got a little crazy. It was loud, very loud. And, you know, I have to say his family, they did pretty well during the adult Easter egg hunt. They took it in stride and they were very nice and polite about it, but you could tell they were totally uncomfortable.
Now, for anyone that didn't hear on Friday, the adult Easter egg hunt was your family likes to hide little liquor bottles everywhere.
Instead of eggs.
Yeah.
Okay.
And there's Jell-O shots. Yes, there's Jell-O shots going around. My aunt tried to get his mom to take a Jell-O shot, and it was just like, it was mortifying. It was mortifying. They made it to dinner.
Okay,
good.
And dinner was loud. My aunt was terribly loud. And literally, they just started leaving, like, right after dinner. Like, they just didn't even say goodbye. They just left. It was, like, abrupt, yeah. It was like, thank goodness this is over. You can just tell.
We've done our duty.
I remember you saying that you have a family member who likes to dress up as the Easter Bunny, and this is a no-no on your husband's side. Did that happen?
No, they left before they dressed up as the Easter Bunny.
Oh. Okay, so that's a good thing.
Thank goodness.
I know. We got away with that one, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this. Was your family accepting of them, though, like of their traditions?
They were polite about it. They were. They weren't disrespectful or anything like that. They just carried on and drank their drinks and offered them to his mom.
I mean, that's the nice thing to do on a holiday, right? You offer other people drinks.
You know, I for sure, Melanie, thought that this was going to end in an all-out brawl, everybody getting up in each other's faces. I am so happy that that didn't happen.
Me too, because I felt the same way.
So do you feel like you're going to be invited to their family functions now
after
hosting this one?
I think I'll be invited. I don't think my family will be invited.
Fair.
How did your family take it when they just started peeling off?
They were just like, whatever, pass the Jell-O shot.
They're so buzzed, they don't even know.
More for us! I mean, it's only Monday and this was yesterday, so I'm guessing you haven't really... How does your husband feel today? Not like physically, but just emotionally.
Physically not well.
He felt okay. Like, he was like, that went the best it could go. Yeah, he felt like it. Yeah.
The fact that Irish goodbyeing another family is the best it could go says a lot.
Because normally the goodbyes last another day.
Yeah. Right.
I'm guessing this will be the last double family get together.
For Easter, I think so.
Okay. Yeah, maybe try Christmas.
Maybe stop with the religious holidays with this family.
4th of July would be good.
Right. Labor Day, Arbor Day. Get the families together on that one. Well, thank you, Melanie, so much for being on Why Should We Talk to You on Monday. And hats off to your husband's family and for your family for at least trying to get together and learn each other's customs.
Right.
Again, thank you for your time, Melanie. Have a great rest of your week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
We got the small town salute on the way in just a couple of seconds. Before that, though, so I was telling you guys, Friday was my wife's birthday. It was Brianna's birthday.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I made reservations at a really nice restaurant for just me and her, right? Because this place is way more than I can afford. But I thought, I'll take her somewhere nice for her birthday. And she was like, well, let's bring the kids. The kids should experience a nice meal. And I was like, that's That's easy to say when you're not the one paying for it, but okay. But let's go have this meal. So we went to this place. It's called Baltimore. It's a super nice steakhouse with like certified Wagyu beef. And
wow,
you know, it's
bougie.
Yeah, it's the real deal. It's
bougie.
And as always, my son orders the most expensive thing on the menu.
The A5 rare Wagyu.
Now, does he do that on purpose? Because as a kid, we were taught that you never order the most expensive thing.
My family doesn't care about me, so they just...
they run loose.
Yeah, lay that hammer down, Kelly.
I'm just the landlord. But
did you get the soup?
No, I told my wife, I was like, can I please just get a salad to cushion this bill a little bit? But I was like, you know what? Screw it. My kids deserve a good meal once in a while, so they can go ahead and get what they want. But my wife saw I was in a panic when they put the bill down. Like, she was like, you looked pale when they put the bill at the table. I was like, because we don't spend this kind of money going out to eat. No. Ever, ever, ever.
No.
I had to get up and go to the bathroom and splash cold water on my face. I'm not even making it up, dude. Like, I walked in the bathroom and I was like splashing cold water on my face.
What did you get? What did you get to eat?
It was like called a hanger steak. Mine wasn't the most expensive at all.
That's not even an elite cut of steak.
No, not at all. But my son got like a 40-day dry age prime rib or something like that.
Oh my gosh.
And his meal alone.
Oh my gosh.
His meal alone was like $75. Like,
dude. And is that now going to be his palate?
I don't think so. I don't even think he enjoyed it. He wolfed it down. I was like, son, can you at least look savoring it? Because
aged 40 days and it's gone in 40 seconds.
I was like, you are giving dad some serious anxiety over here. Like, you're not even enjoying that thing.
He ate half of my grocery bill in one sitting.
See, that's why I don't take kids to expensive restaurants. I'm like,
they're teenagers, so
ungrateful heathens.
My daughter got Wagyu beef hamburgers. Those looked really good.
Ooh. That sounds good.
My wife, I don't remember what she got. She got some kind of salmon or something, and then I got that. So the bill was hefty, man. The bill was hefty. And then, you know, the tip, of course. And I was just like, oh, okay, Kelly, just settle down. It's only money. It's only money. And my wife was like, are you going to be okay? Do you need to get up? And so I did.
Yeah. You should have just left them. You should have got up, get out in your car, and drove away.
And then you got to calculate the tip. Right
on
top of that. Now, was this a bougie place where they already had like the gratuity kind of already built into the bill?
I hope not, because I tipped on top of that. So if they did, then I really screwed myself.
Was your pen shaking as you're trying to calculate the math of like
how much
do I give?
It looked like something out of a movie where I just grab my wine and down it and then fill out the bill.
40-day aged wine, and you're just slamming it like
I'm getting a headache now just talking about it.
It's funny because our boss, James, he was talking about how he was living at his old state, and he had a record rep come into town.
Yeah.
So they went out to dinner, and he brought another on-air person with, and it was a really nice restaurant.
Yeah.
And the on-air person he was with was like, I'm getting the most expensive thing on the menu, because why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And the record rep was buying it, and he was a guest, a part of it. And so he goes, you know I have to play this song now because of this
because whole, that steak?
Because of that, he goes, yeah, but the memories that we're going to make from me buying the most expensive thing on the menu.
If you're going to be in a restaurant that offers something like that, just do it. You know?
It's true.
You only go around once, and I'm going to...
And if Kelly's buying, for sure get the most expensive thing. No question.
I'm definitely going to need to pull some extra shifts here on the radio. You guys think Brooke wants the week off? Or
you were talking about wanting to be a sandwich artist. Maybe this is your time.
It's going to happen now.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
A DUI in a canoe. That's what we're going to get to the bottom of today, as we are joined by Mike Bryant from the Law Offices of Bradshaw and Bryant and Better Call Bryant. Now, this is a story that we talked about a few weeks ago, and the text that we got were crazy over this. It was about a guy who was in a canoe. He was drunk. He had his kids in the canoe. The canoe tipped over. He got a DUI when they had to come rescue him. And everyone was like, I didn't think you could get a DUI in a canoe.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Well, they've added that as an additional thing because you're operating some sort of vehicle in a sense. It's a canoe, so it doesn't have a motor.
Right.
I mean, that would be one that I definitely would sit down with an attorney and try to figure out what my rights are as far as it goes. But it would be really interesting to see how much time went by from the rescue to when they actually tested him, how they tested him.
So can you be impaired operating anything? Because now that's making me second guess. I knew a guy who got pulled over riding a bicycle, a pedal bike.
Yep.
And he, well, granted, it was his third DUI, but
jeez,
he thought he'd
be... Well, you hang out with some winners.
Hey, we're all redeemed. But no, he couldn't drive anymore, license suspended. So he just figured, I'll just ride my bicycle all over town. He was a little reckless. And sure enough, I mean, very intoxicated. Honestly, can you operate anything? Rollerblades, skateboards. Well,
the classic ones I've heard are Zambonis, lawnmowers. I'm trying to think what else.
What about an electric scooter?
Electric scooter. You know, there's electric scooters that come into
Kelly.
Play. So there's different issues as far as that goes. My guess with the guy on the bike is he probably had a license that was amicable to public safety. And so what happened was he's just not supposed to drink, that he's not allowed to drink. And so there's other things that are involved. So sometimes some of those stories, once you get into the background of it, there's more going on. You're public intoxicated, or you're not allowed to be in a bar and you're in a bar. So you do all sorts of things like that.
I shouldn't make fun of your friend, because one time I was really tipsy at my friend's house and I didn't want to drive, so I borrowed his sister's bike.
Oh.
And I was so tipsy, I sideswiped a car on the way home. Ouch. A parked car. But I was trying to be responsible.
Leave a note.
I don't know if I did or not. To be honest, I don't think I did.
Your eyes said no.
Dang it, you are a lawyer.
And you know what's tough with that is it's an enhanceable offense. So that can get really scary.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really getting your life messed up, man.
I think my pride was most hurt in this. I don't know if I did any damage to the car. This was 25 years ago. Yeah. I don't remember.
There's a lot. I mean, it involves a lot more things. And the enhancement depends on a lot of other things too, and depends on the past record, depends on what it was. It's one of those, it's complicated enough, it's worth sitting down with somebody just figuring out what your rights are.
All right, we got to the bottom of another one. That's what we do when we are joined by Mike Bryant from the law offices of Bradshaw and Bryant for Better Call Bryant.
It's time now for the Small Town Salute.
We want to say good morning to everybody listening in Minnesota, population 4,500. The town was originally known as Burns Township until June 30th, 2008, when it was incorporated as the city of Nowthen. How did they come up with the name? Well, that was because the town's first postmaster, James Hare, had a habit of always saying, "Now then," in conversation. That's one heck of a way to name your town, and that's why Now Then, Minnesota, you get today's Small Town Salute.
That was your Small Town Salute on The Kelly Jordan Show. The Kelly Jordan Show.
Now, Chelsea, I always thought you were the one on the show with the most hippie tendencies.
My mother was a hippie.
You got your essential oils and stuff over here all the time.
Yeah. I'm one with nature.
Right. Yeah. You're very, very hippie-ish until Brian Riley started talking about his new plans to become a hippie.
This blows my mind.
I had the most hippie idea of all time this past weekend.
And it is?
And I want to start composting.
Now,
gross.
Now, nothing wrong with composting.
Let me explain this whole scenario.
But so, you don't live in a home.
You're right. Let me explain this whole scenario. So I cook a lot. Like I love to cook. Yeah. I probably cook every single night for the most part. And I get, when you do vegetables, you get all the butt ends, just a bunch of wasted scraps. And I always feel bad throwing it away because it's wasted food that you don't, you know. So I walked out of the kitchen into the living room, dead serious, looked my girlfriend in the eyes, and I go, "We should start composting." And she is from a farm in central Wisconsin. Like, she knows everything about everything. And she goes, "You want to start composting? You, out of all people, think this is a good idea?"
Can I, point of order?
Yeah.
Query.
Yeah.
Where are you going to compost?
I don't know. I always thought compost.
In the living room?
Maybe. I don't know. First off, I don't actually know what composting is. I just know that's what people do with scraps.
It is.
They compost?
It is. So I did this way back in the day, and then I tried again a few years ago. Same thing. And it's to Brian's point. Yeah, when you have all that food in there, waste management actually hates when you throw food away in the garbage. It gets all wet and moldy and gross, and it takes a lot more energy to burn it. Anyway, so you can compost a few different ways. You can buy a bougie composting machine if you really want to. You throw all your scraps in it, throw like dirt in it, throw worms in it, and they break down your food, and it turns into this nutrient-dense, rich soil, which is great in theory.
Mm-hmm.
But it gets hot, and it gets stinky, and I just think it's a little much for me.
So the living room is out. It's a composting.
You've got to do this outside.
Another query.
Go ahead, please.
What the hell are you going to do with the compost once it's composted?
First off,
what are you going to do with it?
You're
going to have to throw it away.
I just learned about compost. Me, I am from the middle of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Yeah. I am the most city person of all time. I didn't know until I was in my late 20s. That corn that you see when you drive isn't edible corn. That it's just feed corn.
Right.
And I'm over here going, "Yeah, let's compost. That sounds like a great idea."
You're turning your food back into dirt so that it can grow food. Once again.
Sure. If that's what, and for some reason, I think,
wait a minute, you don't know what to do with this when it's all done?
Well, I'm going to probably try. And then I think afterwards, you know what I'm going to try to do is start my own little self-sustaining garden.
Where? Wow. Dude, you live in an apartment.
I don't know. I haven't thought that far through. I have a little patio.
He does. He's got plants out there, right?
I don't have any plants out there.
Oh.
But I don't think you have enough room for a self-sustaining... Like, you could maybe grow some sage or some herbs.
You're just going to have some smelly, moldy dirt. You don't know what to do with it yet.
Look, I thought about maybe growing my own tomatoes, my own peppers, maybe some... potatoes.
Dude, you gotta buy a house, all right? You can't be doing this at an apartment.
That's not true. They do this, and they do this in New York because they don't have there's not yards and stuff, so there's a lot of apartments.
See, this is where I'm happy Chelsea's in here because she, for some reason, is the optimist of really bad ideas.
Right.
You can do this. I once grew a garden. I was on a third floor of my apartment building, and I had this cucumber plant, and I thought this was great. Until I realized that the vine went over the side, and so the cucumbers grew all the way down to the first level.
Yeah, need I remind you, I have never planted a single thing in my entire life.
Hold on a second here, Brian Riley. ET just texted in, they make indoor composters that don't smell, and you can plant right in the composter.
Dang.
You're telling me there's a chance.
I'm actually shocked by it. Now I don't, well, I mean, I still think it's a stupid idea, but not as stupid as when we started talking.
I like what Amber texted in. Just get a dog. They can eat any eggshells. they can just eat your scraps.
That's what they do on the farm. They feed their scraps to, like, the pigs.
Yeah, and they compost it like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's instantly turned into soil.
So for some reason, I think I'm going to start composting, and then I'm going to start my own garden, and then... Maybe you'll catch me at the farmer's market wearing some tie-dye shirt one day.
I give this a 1% chance of actually happening.
Do you think I'd be able to grow anything?
No.
Like,
I don't think you would.
I mean, yeah, maybe. I think you could do it. I think you could grow tomatoes without killing them.
That's proof Chelsea has no idea who I am as a person.
The Kelly Jordan Show.
Chelsea has what's trending coming up in just a couple of minutes. But I think all of us in here, Chelsea, Brian, myself, we all are pretty much lovers of music in this room.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right. All types of music, too. It doesn't matter what it is. I probably like a song in that genre, no matter what it is. Well, I thought that this was super interesting. I want to get you guys' take on it.
Yeah.
So they did an analyzation. Is that the right word? They analyzed.
Didn't sound right, but continue.
They analyzed 12,000 songs, okay, from 40 years ago up until today.
Okay.
And they noticed a decline in the quality of lyrics in music. So this isn't just old people saying, get off my lawn. There's actually scientific proof. They say that lyrics mirror society's rise in anger and that songs have become more about self-obsession. Like, think about that. Think about, like, all pop songs are about... either how great I am or how you're stupid for breaking up with me or whatever. So it's gone to self-obsession and more negative emotions than songs from 40 years ago.
Right.
Now, 40 years ago, what would that be? 1984, if my math is correct. And so they say that there's scientific proof that the quality of music is going down. I'm afraid to ever say this because, like, if I listen to a pop music station, with my kids or whatever, I'm like, I can't tell the difference between any of these female artists on this station.
I agree. They all sound the same. I agree with that.
My man was saying that the other day. He's like, oh, what whiny person is this? What whiny person is that? They just keep repeating the same thing. I'm like, you're old.
No, there's scientific proof that songs have become more repetitive. There's actually 15% less lyrics to a song now because they just repeat the chorus more often. How can you not agree with this? Like, do you listen to music?
I mean, no.
What song right now is crushing it? You tell me one great pop song right now.
Well, okay, that's fair. That's a fair assessment right there. I believe that pop music has gotten extremely watered down.
Well, when country went bro country, it got pretty watered down there for a little while.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying I didn't like it. I like bro country. I don't give a dang.
But see, Miranda Lambert, like, she came out with this double album called The Weight of the Wings. She got so many Grammys. I think she got like 10 different Grammys for that album. It was two different albums, and I think it was a total of 27 songs, and I could listen to that start to finish.
But that's also your favorite artist.
On repeat.
So that's a set, like, that we're saying, like,
because she writes her own music.
Right, but we're saying of all music.
In general.
Like, in general, not just
watered down.
Yeah, you just click on the radio to your favorite pop station. I just bit my lip.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Are you going to be all right?
Sorry, I'm a little juicy mouth. I'm very passionate about this topic. But if you just turn on a pop music station, they're saying that the quality of music has gone down and it's noticeable in the simple rhythms now. Because there's just nothing.
No,
like,
creativity.
Golly, I feel so old saying that.
The other thing is it burns faster, too. That's why you have... Yeah. Ariana Grande has a new song, it seems like, every other 3 weeks.
Right.
And, like, Tate McRae is the new artist that's in pop music. She's got, I think, three songs on the radio right now that all came out within 2 weeks of each other.
Now, artists are saying that as well. They're like, this song goes out, you put a labor of love into it, or maybe you don't. You know, they even have AI writing a lot of these songs now, too. So they're just like, it's like they feel like they're machines where they just have to keep generating music and there's no heart and soul behind it anymore.
100%.
So do you guys not want to hear the new pop song that I just
What is it called? Poppy Pop?
Yeah, I put it in AI. And it's going to be a big hit. I'm working on the lyrics currently.
All about me.
Yeah.
Sometimes Kelly finds things interesting that no one else does. We mean absolutely no one. It's time for Maybe It's Just Me.
Now, you've probably heard people talk about this before. Or maybe it's even happened to you before. You're driving and you get to your destination. You're like, holy cow, I don't even remember how the hell I got here.
Yes, you blink and you're there.
Right. Well, Chelsea, that is called highway hypnosis or white line fever.
It refers
to a trance-like condition where someone drives a vehicle for long stretches of time, safely reacting to external occurrences, but without any memory of actively doing so.
That's terrifying.
That'll happen to me because I drive an hour to get to work.
Yeah.
To and fro.
Yep.
And a lot of times I'll get here and I'll be like, dang, I don't remember any of the drive. I don't remember what I was listening to on the radio. Right. I don't remember anything.
It's freaky.
And they say it's because your mind. And that's why Brian, you always make fun of me because, and this is funny. Hold on, let me preface it by saying this. So truckers actually go through like a lot of training in this because you would imagine.
Oh, yeah.
It happens to them all the time.
Yep. Right.
And one of the things that they say is plan out your stops along your route. Like plan out places where you can pull over and get some rest if you need it.
Yeah.
And I have that for my drive home.
Not just one spot. You have multiple spots.
I'm serious. Every 10 miles, I have a place where I know I can stop and take a nap if I need to.
Oh my gosh.
Because I will start to, like, I'll get into this highway hypnosis and I'll start to doze off.
Yeah.
And then they say that's one of the best things you can do is pull over and take a quick nap.
At some point at one of your places, you should just get a job there because it's outside of a business.
I should.
Oh, you should just get a job there. Just take a quick nap and go start your shift.
One's at a furniture store. One's at a gas station.
He just needs to rest. Now, I used to do this with my commute, too, but I would try to, every 10 miles, find, like, a mile marker of some sort, like the smiley face water tower, and, like, that keeps me a little bit more sharp on the road.
That's funny you say that, Chelsea, because in here they say that's one of the things that you can do to stay awake is keep your eyes moving to different things, like read every sign that comes up, read every billboard that comes up. So that's one of the other things that you can do.
It's hard if you live in the middle of nowhere, though.
Right.
But then you look for, like, that one tree. Like,
there's more corn.
More corn.
And corn.
Is that another field? Wow, that one looks a little bit. That one's got a hill in it.
Look at that there grain bin.
But it's pretty interesting that our brains can do this. When we just drove down and we went to and from Texas,
this
was happening to me a lot, where I'd be like, whoa, where was I just now? Like,
you're in a different state. Too.
There's sometimes on road trips I wish I had that hypnosis because I'm like, this trip stinks.
Just tune out.
When you drive to Houston, you've driven to Houston?
Oh, yeah.
It is the most, when you go through Oklahoma, it is the most boring drive.
It is.
If I don't have to remember Oklahoma, that would be the greatest thing ever.
Kansas is the one where it's like, my God, does anybody live in this state? I haven't seen a house for 400 miles.
So flat.
But either way, it's a real condition, and they say you should avoid driving when you should normally be sleeping. Like, avoid driving to those, like you said, Chelsea, look for things to keep your eyes moving around. Ooh. Take a break and take a nap if you have to. Talk to your passengers if you have any in the car with you.
Or just talk to yourself.
Keep the car cold, they say.
Oh, cold. Yeah.
Keep the car cold. That'll help.
Ooh.
I'd find hypnosis.
I'd fall asleep. I'd like my room cold. Right. Oh, I'd be out. Ooh. I'd be out cold.
The human brain is just so interesting that it does these things involuntary. Like, we don't even want it to.
No, that's crazy.
It's trying to keep us alive.
It's pretty wild, man. It's called white line fever, and it's a real thing. Now, you maybe didn't find this interesting. I really did because it happens to me all the time. Probably happens to a lot of us. And it's all right if you didn't like it. Don't care. I'll have another one for you tomorrow, and you might not like that one either, but that's okay. I don't mind looking right at you and saying that sometimes. Maybe it's just me. Welcome to the first break of the day. We call it our bonus track, and we tag it on the end of the podcast. Brian Riley cooked enough food for 15 people.
Yeah, I was thinking about bringing some in, but then I remember you don't bring any food in for anyone.
Ever.
So then I just didn't.
Never.
We didn't even have leftovers.
You didn't?
Nope.
Oh, my gosh.
We cleaned house.
Well, we must have talked about something else, too, this morning. But again, I don't remember anything from today.
You need a nap.
I do. I need a bad nap. Or a good one. Whatever. Here's the bonus track. God.
The perks is you have somebody that could at least like operate the board. I won't say I do it well, but you could sleep for an hour more.
That's true. I wouldn't have been able to, though. I would have been so nervous. It doesn't matter. Who cares? It's sleep. It's the most boring conversation ever. How was everybody's weekend?
Busy, dude. I was all over the place. I went to one of those indoor driving range golf course places.
Okay.
Oh, love those.
Those are sweet.
Like under the dome? Like under
No. Oh. It's like it was a virtual golf course. So it's
did you have your own like little room?
Yeah, you have your own little like lane, I guess it would be.
Yeah.
And so I went to one of those. Those are sweet.
They're becoming more and more popular too.
Yeah. And then you could drink beer while playing. Yeah. It's just a blast. So we did that, and then yesterday, Easter, and I didn't do a dang thing. Didn't celebrate with family. Nothing. Instead I made a 9-course meal for two people at my house yesterday. I have
9-course meal.
Dang, Pertnir, I'm telling you, I had a full chicken roast, like a big one that we got from her dad from the farm. Made the biggest thing of sweet potato whatever we made.
Okay,
green bean casserole, full dinner rolls, full Olive Garden salad spread.
Is it all going to go bad now in the freezer?
I mean, probably. Probably.
That's too much food, man.
Brian,
I don't realize. I just cook. Like, I'm just like, oh, yeah, well, this is about enough. And then you keep going, and then you keep going,
yeah.
And then you keep going. Next thing you know, you're like, well,
yeah,
going to be eating Thanksgiving turkey whatever leftovers, Easter leftovers
ours,
forever.
We destroyed it. It was gone yesterday. I did three round trips round trips. I got one more again today. I swear, I'm going back.
For what?
Back home.
Oh, I thought you were talking about,
I was like, huh? I thought you were talking about eating. I thought you were like, I went back to the, I got more, I got another plate.
No, we tried to do that. Now, it gets a little dangerous because we celebrated, everything was great, went to church, and then we are all so hangry. We're so hangry. I went home, I finally cleaned up my old place, hit it with the bleach, did all the scrubbing of the floors, cleaned out that oven, that self-cleaning oven. I don't know why. That's just so satisfying. And it was like the ashes of burnt pizza were the only remnants left when it was all said and done.
It's a good feeling.
Yeah.
It's a good feeling to have a clean oven. I made an offer on a boat over the weekend.
Hey.
Finally.
Hey. How about it?
Now, here's the thing. I am not a good negotiator, right?
No.
I hate bargaining and bartering and all that kind of stuff. But this dude's boat was, I'm not even going to say the name of it. It was so nasty. I was like, dude, I'm
cringing right now. I can feel it in my teeth.
I won't, Chelsea, I wouldn't even say it in front of you out of respect for you. Out of respect for you.
It's bad.
It's disgusting.
And he put that on his boat?
I told the dude, I said, hey, man, I'll give you $500 less because I'm going to have to get that name buffed out of that paint. And he was like, well, I'll take the stickers off for you. I was like, well, it's super oxidized, so you can take the stickers off, but I'm still going to be able to see that disgusting name that you named.
Fair.
I was like, who's towing kids around on a tube with that disgusting name on their boat? And it wasn't just in the back. You know, when he put it on both sides of the boat. No.
It's like when somebody's got that bumper sticker, not even the rear windshield sticker on their truck that's lifted up, and they get in, they smile, and they give you that smirk like, ha, ah, yeah, you
this
see
was,
that? That's mine.
I told the dude, I said, I would be embarrassed to drive that boat around my family, so will you take $500 less for it so I can get the name buffed out of it? Before I don't even want to drive it out of his. I was like, I'm going to bring the buffer to you because I'm not driving down the road with that disgusting name on the side of a boat.
And I asked him.
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I'm trying to predict what he looks like. He's got like those fake glasses, right, that don't even have a prescription, but they're huge. He's got that mustache, the shirt that's buttoned down one too many, a gold chain.
I haven't met him yet, but it sounds pretty accurate what
accurate,
you're saying.
Let me know.
I was just like, who does that, man? And then you got your family on there with this disgusting name on the side.
Oh, yeah.
Then you have to explain to your kids what it means and all their, like, hey, you want to bring your friends on the boat? Hell no.
Oh, speaking of that, so my nephew's 13 and I'm not prepared for him to be a teenager. And the amount of references that he made, like dirty references this weekend, I was like, I'm gonna have to clean your mouth out with soap.
I'll take him out on my boat.
What the heck?
He'll learn a thing or two out there.
So how do they grow up so fast?
Ah, it's the internet.
Jeez.
The internet is destroying children.
Oh, my gosh.
If you want him to just really learn something, bring over Uncle Kelly and let him talk about the world. Talk about the world of social media and how he should be off of it.
Kill the internet, I say. Yeah. I've been screaming kill the internet for years.
Now, he does have an iPhone, but it's so limited.
Yeah.
He wasn't on it one time all weekend.
They know a way. They know ways around that, though. They know ways around that. They all do. Should we do some history, guys?
Let's do it.
Let's go. I'm going to tell you guys off the air what that boat name was. If you want to text in, I'll tell you what it was. If you're hanging on the edge of your seat. Actually, no, I'm not even going to text you today back. It's so disgusting.
I don't want people to have that in their phone.
Right. Someone's going to come look later like, what? The hell was Kelly texting about?
Who's Kelly, and why is Kelly saying such profane things?
All right. It was on this day back in 1963. This is another soap opera one. General Hospital debuted on this day back in 1963. It's still on to this day, a 61-year run for that show.
The only show with a cool saxophone.
The
sweet sax of this?
You've never seen it? You never heard Night Court? You've never heard the Night Court?
No,
intro?
I don't even know what a Night Court is.
Oh, man, you guys are missing out. Night Court had a sweet saxophone.
This was it, though. That was a smooth sounding.
It was. That was like the intro from like the 90s, too.
I was going to say, I was like, gosh.
But how? They never get the respect they deserve for being on the air for so long. I mean, 61 years. Still with the same storyline as day one.
They just change it, just a different person.
Yeah.
That person has died and come back to life about 30 times in a general hospital or whatever.
What a great gig, though, to get a job on a, you know, on a soap opera. You just mind your P's and Q's, and you got a 61-year run on television.
No one's ever seen, no one even knows what the story's about anymore. They're just like, it's on again.
It was on this day in 1967. Country Music Hall of Fame was inducted its first class on this day. Of course, Hank Williams, Fred Rose, Jimmy Rogers, Roy Acuff, Tax Ritter, you know, all the big names were inducted into that first year.
I love the Hall of Fame.
All of my favorites.
Hank Williams? Hank Williams is good.
Yeah.
But I've never heard of Tax Ritter before. Oh, Ernest Tubb. I've heard of Ernest Tubb before.
Nope.
No, you haven't?
Never.
Oh, yeah. He was a big deal back then. Here's the Night Court opening, just for anyone who's wondering. First, a funky bass line. Now, check this out.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
You don't remember Night Court?
How would I remember Night Court?
That was back when they made music with real instruments.
Man, that was a hot intro right there.
That sounds like almost a trumpet or like a flute or something.
It might have been a clarinet. I get confused.
Saxophone and a clarinet. They're basically hand in hand.
It was on this day back in 2004.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to our Google Gmail Fundamentals course. Now, this course is designed for anyone who is looking to maximize the use of their Gmail account.
2004, April 1st. Gmail was launched for the first time. Everybody thought it was an April Fool's Day prank. Do you know why?
Why?
Because it gave you 1 gigabyte of storage for free of email. And they were like, there's no way. Like, that's impossible to give people a free gig of storage.
That used to be a lot.
So they thought it was everybody thought it was a joke. And now I don't know anybody without a Gmail.
What else is there supposed to be? Like, are you supposed to use Gmail for outside of your inbox and outbox?
You can use it for a calendar. Well, it's all tied together. Like, it's a Google system, if you will.
Oh, you got that was what the class was. It wasn't like, this is how you send an email.
Oh, you're talking about that thing I just played.
Yeah, I was listening to that. I'm going, what are you going to do? Like, how do you maximize Gmail outside of getting an email?
This was revolutionary because you used to have to subscribe to Gmail. Only a person with a Gmail account could add somebody else to get one.
Oh, gosh.
It used to be very exclusive.
Pretty exclusive.
It was.
Let's do some birthdays, shall we? Celebrating a birthday today.
And I don't know why.
Hillary Scott from Lady A. It's her birthday today. Chelsea, any idea how old she is?
I love Hillary Scott. I think she's amazing. I'm going to go with 40. Shucky darn. 43.
Yeah, you're already so far off. I can't. No, she's 38 today. You love her, but you add 5 years onto her life.
I was going to guess 38.
She's so mature.
Oh, shoot. My bad. I shouldn't have given the answer.
No, that's fine.
Lies, Brian.
I was going to guess that.
Also celebrating a birthday today.
If somebody truck in a farmer field, a no trespass sign.
Kip Moore. Remember when he got drunk at that one concert and was yelling at the audience for not being into his show?
Oh, yeah.
After he did like 7 slow songs in a row, he was mad at the audience for not being into it.
Look, those are the slow ones are when you get up and get the beer.
Right. He should know that. He's a professional. Now, I love Kip Moore, but one time I was like, why is he accosting the audience for being sleepy after 7 slow songs in a row?
Kip Moore, I would say I think he's going to shock everyone. I think he's 41.
All right. 41.
No. I think he's a young buck. I'm going to say 37. No?
No. 44.
44.
See? For Kip Moore today.
That was close.
44 years old.
His songs are so slow that he ages faster.
He's boy, don't let him have a few drinks and get on stage. He will let you know.